you'll see behind me that we've been talking about the Great Seal of God. And this is a six-part series, and today is part number five about the Great Seal of God. And I want to review what we've covered in the past sermons. Just bullets here, just to review, especially if you haven't been here. First of all, we have clearly discerned from Scripture that the Sabbath originated in Eden, not on Mount Sinai. Okay? Number two, we found out the Sabbath is the memorial that God is the Creator. And that, by the way, was six literal 24-hour periods. Period. Then number three, we found out the Sabbath is and was the crowning act of God's creation. And finally, fourthly, we looked at Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath day. Now, this is important because that last sermon, part four, addressed this issue that you'll hear people say, well, the only commandment that is not reiterated in the New Testament is the fourth commandment. All the rest of them have been, therefore the Sabbath is defunct. And they just sort of slightly overlook the fact that in the New Testament, Jesus clearly states, I am Lord of the Sabbath day, which means the Sabbath day belongs to who? Jesus. It's His day. It is His day. And now today we're going to answer this question. Is the seal of God the Sabbath? I invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for this moment, and I pray that You would reveal Yourself in a mighty way. Use me, Lord, in spite of my frailty and faults, because we have all come to be refreshed, revived, and recreated, and only You can do that. So, Lord, reveal Yourself. Use my mind to say only Your thoughts. And open each heart and mind here to be receptive and to be thoughtful and contemplative about what is presented, so that we can leave here knowing that You spoke and our lives will not be the same. Blessed to this end, and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. I got a question. We're going to answer the question, is the seal of God the Sabbath? But I want you to look and tell me, who are these two men? The one over here is Charles Darwin. And the one over here is, yeah, Joseph Bates. Good for you. I thought all of you knew that. Charles Darwin, 1809 to 1892, and Joseph Bates, 1792 to 1872. Now, the reason I'm showing you those two pictures is I want you to know it is no coincidence. You see, Joseph Bates was one of the founders of our church, along with James and Ellen White and some other young people. And in 1845, Joseph Bates accepted the seventh-day Sabbath as the Bible doctrine. And it was his tract that he wrote that convinced Ellen and James White the Sabbath was biblical. Now, did you hear that? Here's why. You'll hear people say, well, the Seventh-day Adventist was founded by Ellen White, and she got all these visions and dictated all the doctrines, and that's what they believe. They're a cult. The Seventh-day Sabbath came from Joseph Bates. You want to hear an interesting historical story? This is so good. I got to say it, even though I'm going to make up for lost time here. Joseph Bates thought Ellen White was a really nice lady, but he didn't believe she was a prophet. Ellen White believed he was a really nice guy, but he was off on this Sabbath thing. And so they came together at a conference, and at that conference she received a vision. And in the vision, she happened to see some planets that she had never seen before in vision. And when she was done, she spoke about it, and it so impressed Joseph Bates, who was a retired what? Sea captain. And well, how did sea captains get around back then? Not GPSs. He could not believe. He said, "Have you studied astronomy?" Well, you all know that Ellen White didn't study anything, because she didn't go to school. And she said, "No, I've never studied astronomy." He said, "I can't believe it. You must be a prophet. By the way, here's a tract I want you to read." So she went home, her and James read it, and guess what? They accepted the seventh-day Sabbath. It came from Joseph Bates in 1845. He started in 1846. Ellen and James White accepted it. Charles Darwin, in 1859, published his work called The Origin of Species, which started the whole debate between creation and evolution. There is no coincidence that the Seventh-day Adventist Church officially adopted or accepted the name Seventh-day Adventist in 1860. Do you think those two dates are coincidental? They're not. Satan, prior to the acceptance of the Sabbath as the church's name, was his effort to begin the battle against this beautiful fourth commandment of the Decalogue. And folks, he has tremendously succeeded and is even making inroads into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Shame on us. Shame on us. Because I believe the Seventh-day Sabbath is the seal of God. So I invite you, if you would, to take your Bible and turn with me to Revelation, the seventh chapter. And I want to share with you what it says here, why we know that the seventh-day Sabbath really is the seal of God. Revelation 7. By the way, this is the very chapter I'm covering in my Saturday Vesper series. We're doing the last part of Revelation 7 tonight, as we continue to plow through the book of Revelation. Do you have Revelation, the seventh chapter, children? I want you to open your Bible also and follow along with me. It is so fascinating, these prophecies that God gave us. And look what it says in verse number 1. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind should blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. He cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their forehead." Now please notice, if you would, the number 4 in Scripture stands for, in prophetic utterances such as this, symbolically, it stands for worldwide. And there's nobody going to argue in here with me in here, right? Because you all know there's four corners of the world, right? Or the earth. You all know that concept. The number 4 in the Bible is always referring to worldwide, when it's symbolic language. Okay, the four corners of the earth. Four angels were stationed at the four corners of the earth for what purpose? To hold back the winds. What is the winds? Strife, tribulation. In this case, it's serious tribulation. I'll show you how the context can prove that. But throughout the Bible, when it uses prophetically, it says winds, it's talking about war, famine, pestilence, all kinds of disruptions of every kind. This here is the tribulation. And notice that the mighty angel who came down with this seal of the living God said, "Don't let the winds go. Don't let the winds go." And why did he say that? Why did he say that? Oh, that didn't come up, did it? Shame on me, see? I won't say it, Chuck, and embarrass you again. Why? Why hold those winds back? Why delay the process of the second coming of Jesus Christ so we can wrap this thing up? Why? Yeah, because the people are not sealed yet. Everything's holding till the sealing is complete. And verse 2 is so clear. It says, "And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cries out with a loud voice, 'Hold the tribulation, not yet.'" This tells us clearly that the sealing is the issue of the last hour. See, everything is on hold because of that. It doesn't say, "Hold back the winds of strife until we can get more numbers and they get sealed and maybe they act a little bit better." No, it says one thing. Till we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. By the way, I don't want anybody in this congregation to be misled because I'm showing you a graphic sign that has a physical seal. The physical seal is not, it isn't physical. It represents the frontal lobe. By the way, what do you do with your frontal lobe? What do you do? That's where you make all your decisions and do all your thinking. And that, isn't it interesting that when you drink alcohol or drugs, guess which area of your body it affects? Guess. Your frontal lobe. If you drink caffeine, which is a drug, which Adventists seem to be really getting culturally excited about, guess where it affects? Frontal lobe. To affect your thinking. The process of your decision-making power. We think, this is a new age, no problem, I can do this, I can do that. And Satan knows exactly what he's doing. The frontal lobe. God wants to seal us with His message right in the very location where our thought process takes place. Hold everything. We got to delay this. There's one thing that has to happen before we can finalize this whole issue. The sealing of God's people. So I ask the question again. Is the seal of God the seventh-day Sabbath? Well, take a look at something I thought was really interesting. "And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun." 53 times the word is angel is found in the book of Revelation. That's an incredible number of times. And nowhere in the book of Revelation, except for here, does it say an angel ascending or descending, actually, from the rising of the sun. This is a very unique utterance that is found nowhere else in the book of Revelation except right here. See, we're trying to determine, is the seal of God the Sabbath? How interesting that the way they say this angel shows up, and by the way, another angel coming from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. By the way, you all know the most beautiful utterance to me in Revelation is, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven." Another angel, but doesn't say coming from the east. Wouldn't you think it would say coming from the east? I actually wish it would say coming from the east. To me, it adds the import of the message, but it doesn't. And then the second angel, another angel, doesn't say from the east. And then the third angel, another angel, doesn't say from the east. And then Revelation 18, where it talks about the angel that illuminates the entire world, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the re-preaching of the three angels' messages, or third angel's message, it doesn't say from the east. Only here. To me, that's a clue. And so we look at this 53 times in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 through 22. The word angel is used. Only here in chapter 7 does it say this word, Anatole. How did that lose the Greek? It's the computer. It means a rising of the light, sun rising or dawn. And notice that my translation actually doesn't say from the east like the King James. My translation says from the rising of the sun. Why does it say that? The rising of the sun. Let me show you something really interesting that for me seals this whole debate, but for you, you may need a little more, and I'll give you a little more. Notice this. She began the description of the Sabbath light. Now, in 1848, in Dorchester, Ellen White had a vision. And when she got done with the vision, here's the words that her husband wrote down that she repeated to the congregation. She then began to describe the Sabbath light, which was the sealing truth. You got that? Which was the sealing truth. She said, it rose from the rising of the sun. It arose back there in weakness, but the light after light has shone upon it until the Sabbath truth is clear, weighty, and mighty. And then she goes on and says, like the sun when it first rises, its rays are cold, but as it comes up, its rays are warmer and powerful, so the light and the power has increased more and more until its rays are powerful, sanctifying the soul. But unlike the sun, I love this. Do you see that? Unlike the sun, what? The Sabbath never sets. That's exactly what Scripture says. So here Ellen White in vision clearly related Revelation 7:2 to the Sabbath being the sealing message. The reason why it says there the angel came from the rising of the sun is because it simulates the change and the development of this beautiful doctrine. It would start out small and then slowly but surely it would get brighter and brighter and brighter until it illuminated the whole landscape. Do you know how difficult it is to hide something when the sun is directly overhead, right? It was a message. That's why the angel came from the east. And this message was to start small and to slowly but surely get bigger and brighter. By the way, do you know what that's implying for us today? We got a work to do. This is the message we have to share. And by the way, let me tell you why. Because it's the fourth commandment of the Decalogue and it's written on stone. Cold, hard stone, right? No, because it's Jesus' special day. It's the day in which Jesus is closer to His people than any other day. And He chose it to be that way because it distinguishes the people of the world from the true people of God. It's the way you can really determine who are God's people. And so He gave this special day, not because He had to, and not because it was necessary. He did it because He wanted us to always remember who was the Creator. Not Charles Darwin's origin of species, folks, which now the world is gobbling down like crazy in the church in many places are trying to accommodate. There's no coincidence here. None. Satan knows what he's doing. The year before we picked the name Seventh-day Adventist to show the world who we were. And because we understood the light would start dim but get brighter and brighter. Do you know our name is actually picked in order to be a testimony to the rest of the Protestant world? Do you know that? Do you know that? Yeah. The Seventh-day Sabbath. And the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ. And remember, I belonged in my childhood to the largest Christian organization in the world, and no one ever told me about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's because we never opened our Bible. It's going to get brighter and brighter. It's a message. Starts out little, but it gets bigger. It's a message the world is dying to hear because it brings hope and help. Is the seal of God the 70th Sabbath? I want you to look at the official seal of the President of the United States. Now, it doesn't have any particular president up there because I am apolitical. So I'm going to leave the names out. But the seal would include the name of the president, his title, which is president, and his domain, which is the United States. Everybody recognizes, you can go to your dictionary, you can go to your encyclopedia, and you can look under seal, and you will find it contains three things. Right? Is the seventh-day Sabbath the seal of God? Remember the Sabbath day. Let's recite it together. To keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy stranger cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 20:8-11. Next week, instead of reading the scripture, we're going to recite it from memory. I'm not going to put it on the board. And if you look closely, you discover His name, the Lord thy God. His title, Creator, made. And His dominion, folks, is what? The heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. The seventh day Sabbath, fourth commandment of the Decalogue, is indeed the sealing message that God is holding back the winds of strife until everybody has made their decision. There is absolutely no coincidence that evolutionary theory is coming to the forefront everywhere you turn. Why? I didn't hear anybody say it. More specific than the end time. The second coming of Jesus Christ is near. That's why. And so now you've got all kinds of people debating this. You've got traitors who are changing sides and going over to the enemy. And it causes us to scratch our heads in wonder and even tremble a little bit for fear that we might be wrong. And I want you to know that there's no coincidence in all this. Satan knows this is his last-ditch effort in order to take out all that he can take out. Jesus is coming again. Therefore, evolution has come back to the very forefront. And it's being actively debated, talked about, and the scientists are livid, and they're becoming more bold and arrogant in their declaration. And you can pick up your National Geographic, and it talks about evolution as if it was an accepted fact proven by science. And there wasn't one scientist who was back there during creation. So therefore, it is a theory and always will be. And by the way, creation is a theory and always will be. But if you pray, you find out that the God of heaven really exists, and the Bible clearly speaks the word and voice of God, and that's where I'm throwing my money on. The word of God. Can I answer all them scientists? No. Could they make me look like a fool in front of you? Depends on if the Holy Spirit really gets a hold of my heart, but probably yes. But you know what? It doesn't change the fact that evening was, morning was, day one. Evening was, morning was, day. Evening was, morning was, day. All the way up to the sixth day, and then He made the Sabbath to remind us who has the power. Not the scientific mind. God. And so there's no coincidence here, folks, whatsoever. And so now as we approach the second coming of Jesus Christ, there is a group of people who have been called to share a message that people don't want to hear. Okay? They don't like it. And we don't want to give it. I'm serious. I mean, I remember what Jude wrote. Did you read Jude? Have you ever read Jude? It's just one chapter. Jude chapter 3, Jude verse 3 said, I tried with all my might to write to you about our common salvation. I thought, okay, Jude, you were all excited to write about the gospel. Well, why didn't you, Jude? Because I was tremendously impressed by the Spirit. Instead, I need to plead with you to keep the faith that God gave you in the beginning. Quit selling out to culture. Quit selling out to scientists. Quit selling out to the postmodern mind and secular man. I wanted to talk about the love of God in a more graphic way, but I couldn't because I see that Satan's picking you folks off, and I'm begging you not to sell out. That's what Jude said. Jude's saying that right now. Those of you who put your face and eyes in this book all the time will have an abiding trust in God, and you will know you're right even if you can't answer the questions. Whoops. The questions. That was for Jenny. The questions that the scientists can bring up. But I got news for you. There are creation questions that the scientists cannot answer. Next week will be part six, the final part. How do we keep the Sabbath? Father, I thank you for the challenge of the hour, for making it so plain to us. And though, Lord, I forgot to mention that Ellen White and James wrote specifically that once they added the Sabbath to the second coming, their work became harder even back then. And now look at how hard it is because people just want to believe the rapture and it's all over, pervading Christianity and non-Christianity. Help us, Lord, that we can share your wonderful day and you can teach us how to do it in love so that we can give you permission to let the four angels let loose, and you can come to take us home. Lord, bless each one here. Don't let them leave without making some decision. Yes, I want to keep the Sabbath. Yes, I want to be baptized. Yes, I want to surrender to Jesus. Yes, I want to read my Bible more often. Yes, I want to stop complaining and griping all the time. Yes, I want stronger faith. Make a decision before you leave the sanctuary. In fact, grab somebody and say, pray with me so that we can help each other to be firm in these last days and you can lead us to those who are sincerely looking for truth. And thank you for using paradise for this purpose and answering our prayer because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.